Well, as Brenda said, I'm Michael, and this is Mike Turgiano, and he's a vineyard pastor from, both he and his wife Char have pastored vineyard churches out in New York City for
38 years.
And he's recently, give him a round of applause. That's awesome. I feel like we just, last week, Mike, we celebrated 20 years that Brenda and I have been here, but I feel like a young pup compared to you.
They're just little kids.
Just a little kid. And he's reminding me of that all weekend long, so it's great fun. Hey, you want to tell people just a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm here with my wife, Char.
Yeah, Char.
Doing knitting. We've been married for 46 years. Next, in 2 weeks, 46 years. Clap for her, actually, not for me. after being a pastor for all these years, both of us pastoring and church planting in the city, a couple of years ago, God sort of switched gears on us and kind of put us in overdrive and expanded our ministry. What we did was we felt called to hand off our church to a younger pastor there in Brooklyn, and in order to free us to pastor pastors. And that's what we spend all our time doing, helping pastors, helping emerging young leaders, just giving away everything that has enabled us to last for these many decades in the ministry. And so we spend our time, some of it is traveling, like coming to Duluth and doing what we've been doing this weekend. We spend time back east in our city, just helping out any way we can to give away the good things that God has deposited in our lives over the years in order to give us a healthy, wonderful life serving God.
Yeah, that's good. You said coming to Duluth, but what you really meant was coming to the most beautiful city you've ever been to in your life.
Well, it's one of the coldest cities that I've ever come to.
This is not cold.
You see what I mean? They tell me it gets colder than this.
We have been throughout this year studying through the book of Acts together as a church. And the thing that I thought would be really fun today is to just kind of interview Mike, just talk back and forth here a little bit. We don't have like our thing all scripted out. We don't have this completely planned. We want to just talk about what is it like to actually live, you know, as followers of Jesus, continuing the ministry of Jesus today here in our town. Like, what does that actually look like? Like, how do we do that? You know, in the book of Acts, we read at the very beginning, Luke is writing that, and he says, here's all the, you know, in my former book, I wrote to you about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. The book of Acts is what Jesus continued to do through the disciples and the Holy Spirit, and then we're still living that out today. And so I thought we would just talk about that and how that actually works out. And the way that I'm going to frame it is there's a few little phrases that we've used around the vineyard for years that become for us shorthand of some of these big concepts. So the first phrase is a phrase, and I've got like three of them that we'll unpack today. So the first one is an old vineyard phrase that is called doing the stuff. We just talk about doing the stuff. And it comes from one of the founders of the vineyard, a guy named John Wimber, who right after, like a month or so after he became a follower of Jesus, he went up to one of the elders at his church with a Bible and said he'd been reading the New Testament and seeing all the stuff Jesus did and all the stuff the disciples did. And he walked up to this guy and goes, "Hey, when do we get to do the stuff?" And the guy was like, what are you talking about? You know, the stuff that's in the Bible. Like, when do we get to do the stuff? He was so disappointed that they showed up in church and they sang songs and then they went home, you know, or they listened to old guys ramble on for a long time and then they went home. And he wanted to, like, do the stuff that was in the Bible. And the guy told him, said, "Well, we don't really do that stuff anymore. You just need to believe it was done once." At one time, like long time ago, it was done. And so a big part of the vineyard has been, hey, we just want to keep doing the stuff. Why don't you
Yeah, I think that that phrase has kind of been like a foundation of my life with Jesus for so many years. It, you know, when Jesus entered the world, came to us in person, it was to transform, actually resurrect this dying world. And he did it, you know, he brought the kingdom of God, the life of God's kingdom into our everyday lives. And what did that look like? Hmm. Well, wherever Jesus went, lives were changed. They were healed.
Yeah.
The dead were actually raised from the grave. The poor were taken care of and healed and fed. You know, the outcasts, the people that nobody wanted to have anything to do with, were welcomed in by him and embraced. All this stuff, they were actually evidence of this new world that was resurrecting right before their
exactly,
eyes,
yeah.
You know? And so I would, you know, I would read that, and as a new Christian, I thought, wow, what would that, you know, I wish I lived back then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I would have loved to see some of that. And then, lo and behold, a person like John Wimber and others were telling me, wait a second, that's still happening to, you know, God isn't finished yet.
Yeah.
Right? He's still changing the world and changing people's lives all around us. And the same stuff, the same kingdom work is still being done today. People are still being healed. Lives are still, the outcasts are still being welcomed in. The poor are still, you know, although we have poor around us, they're being helped.
Yeah.
You know, there are, you know, on occasions, miracles do happen, you know. And we can get in on that.
That's
we
right.
can do this. It's not just a story in a book, you know. Church isn't just about coming to hear some old stories, you
right.
know, or to sing songs about those stories or whatever. It's actually happening. The Book of Acts is continuing.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, that's really good. There's this passage in Matthew chapter 10 when Jesus is sending out the 12 disciples, and then you can read in Luke chapter 10 where he's sending out 70-some disciples, and he's got a phrase like this where he says, he's telling them what to do, and he says, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's our deal. That's what we're about.
And I love that you know, this announcement of that God is real. You know, how many times we try to convince our friends that God is real, right? They think you're crazy because you go to church, or they think you somehow become religious or some fanatic, right? And you try to convince them that, you know what? No, God is real. But it's so much more amazing when you can pray for people and they can experience God right then and there.
Exactly.
Right? They can actually experience that. You know, they might not understand God. They might still have a bunch of questions. They might not call themselves believers, but there's something about your life,
yeah.
you know, that you carry around with you. They watch you doing stuff that is from another world, like prayer, like loving the unlovable, all that stuff, like going out of your way to take care of the poor when you barely have enough for yourself.
Yeah.
That's otherworldly, but that's what opens people's eyes to the kingdom. And we, you know.
We get to do it.
We get to do it.
So that brings up our next phrase.
Ah,
which is
you like that handle. Yeah.
You can tell this is like really rehearsed. So that brings up the next phrase, which is everybody gets to play, right? That here's the deal. Doing the stuff is for everybody. We all get to do this. So
yeah,
talk about that a little bit.
You know, I grew up, I'm Italian, grew up a Roman Catholic, and it was like, All right? You go to church, you sit, you don't understand what's going on, but you sit, and the priest does everything. Right? He does everything. And we are the audience. All we get to do is show up and pay for it. Yeah. So, yeah, there was only the clergy did the stuff.
Right, right.
Only the prophet. And then that carried over after I met Jesus, you know, and started to go to more evangelical type churches. It's still, there was this line, invisible line drawn across the sanctuary. That line, you know, the congregation, and then the professional, the clergy, you see? And again, only the clergy, the professional, the trained, the most spiritual. Like in my mind, only the superstars got to do the stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm being told that, wait a second, that's not the way it always was. That in fact, if you read the book of Acts, you know, or just think about Jesus, 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Right? How many clergy were among them? How many trained in ministry were there? They were just most of them were just blue collar, you know, the most unlikely. Actually, you had a couple of zealots there, you know, They were like, they went around firebombing the Roman garrison on weekends. I mean, they were radicals, you know? And yet, Jesus called them in and gave them a role to play in his kingdom.
Yeah.
And that continued in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
When you see about, you know, you just read the stories, most of those people, yes, there were religious people that did start to follow Jesus, but the majority were just ordinary men and women and some children as well.
So talk about when this like started for you, when it began to flip for you, that you like get to do this stuff.
When it started to catch on?
Yeah, for you.
Well, for me, it was almost immediately after I met Jesus.
Huh.
Because I was with a bunch of Christians that really believed that everybody gets to play.
Yeah.
And I was in the place that I met Jesus was a drug rehab program. Okay? And so they said, this was, and it's in my heart even to this day. I should have it tattooed across my chest. And that saved to serve. Saved to serve.
Yeah.
God found you. God saved you, healed you in order to use you, Mike, to further his kingdom.
Right.
And
right.
You know what? It just became, I didn't know how he was going to use me.
Right.
I didn't know what, I didn't. Believe me, I never ever dreamed that I would be a pastor. I was not the type. You know, I didn't fit the mold. But you guess what? There is no mold for doing this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there is no mold. You know, everybody gets to play.
That's right. That's good. So one of the things, like we've been studying through Acts, one of the things that stands out to me as we're looking through it, there are 40 miracles in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit is like doing like this really cool supernatural stuff. Only 39 of those miracles take place outside the church. 39 of them don't take place like in a room like this. They're like out in people's daily lives as they're just living life. Only one of them takes place in a place like this. And it's because Paul preached too long that the guy like fell asleep and fell out the window and died. And so Paul got to like raise him back to life. And it's why we don't have any windows in here. I just made that up. I thought that was funny. So like talk about like for all of us, the average person, just participating in what God's doing the stuff we get to play like in our regular daily life.
Well, I'll tell you a little story. One summer, we were at a vineyard gathering of churches in back east in Pennsylvania. We got together and everything, and part of these gatherings wasn't just going to services and this and that. We would gather together and have parties. I mean, in our, you know, we were in a retreat center. Well, it wasn't a retreat center, it was a resort sort of area. And so we had these little cabins together. And my wife and I, we threw what would look like a backyard barbecue. And there was a bunch of people, just our friends, show up. And we were having a backyard. It was just what you guys and we all do on summer days, you know, on weekends. Invite your friends over, have a good time. So
yeah, both of those summer days we have. That's what we do.
That's a vineyard day. You know? So anyway, so in the midst of this you know, just hanging out, I know that there was people in the house, there were people all over the place. We were in the backyard, right, of this place, and we were drinking beer and smoking our cigars, you know, just having a good time. And a friend of ours comes in, and he has he's a pastor friend, and he had two or three young people, you know, young adults with him that he wanted to introduce, you know, bring them along. And one of them was this young lady, Rachel, you know, and you could tell right when she showed up that she was sick. Her head was shaved. She was gaunt, pale, you know, beautiful big eyes. That's all I remember. But she had cancer. You could tell. She didn't have to say anything. And so, you know, and so he introduces, and he introduces Rachel, and I don't know who asked her the question, but she started to tell a little bit of her story to us. You know, again, remember, we're drinking beer, smoking cigars, relaxing and everything, and we're just getting to know each other. It's a social thing. And she starts telling us that, you know, she has cancer on her spine, right? And she's undergoing radiation treatment, the whole deal. You can only, just the way it is right now, got pretty quiet. And we sensed, I know I did, I sensed, uh-oh, God is here. This, even though this is not one of our sessions, this is in between the times that God's supposed to be working, but he's on the job right now. And I think, I think he wants us to pray for her. You know, and I'll tell you the truth. I didn't want to give her false hope.
Yeah.
You just say, God wants to heal you, you know. But I couldn't stop thinking that God wanted to heal her. You know, as impossible as that was, I couldn't shake it, man. And I, you know, but what if God doesn't? What if, you know, all those doubts were kind of hammering in my head? And finally, she tells the story, and everybody just looked at it, because I think everybody, the rest of the people that were there, were feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
I said, well, it looks like I think we need to pray for Rachel. And so we put down our beers, we put down our cigars, and we ask, come Holy Spirit. Now, she goes back home. Nothing dramatic. We couldn't tell if anything happened. She was just thankful that we thought enough to pray for her. That was it, you know. Go back home, and she just so happened a few days later, she had her oncologist report. Lo and behold, the tumor that was on her spine had shrunk to basically nothing.
Wow.
She was healed. And to this day, she later on, her whole family got saved because of this.
Yeah.
She ended up going to seminary and entering the ministry. I mean, the
ripples of that,
the effect of this thing. But just like that, in the middle of an ordinary backyard picnic, God shows up and performs a major miracle.
Yeah, you know? It's pretty cool.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah. One of the things that's kind of cool just about the life of Jesus and then the disciples in the book of Acts is most of the time, like, that stuff wasn't prepared or planned. Like even if you look at the ministry of Jesus, here we have, you know, God in the flesh, fully human, fully God, walking around on earth. Most of the stuff that we see, the miracles and stuff we see, like, weren't on his calendar for the day.
No, they were unplanned. It seems to me, anyway, they were unscripted totally. It seems to me that Jesus was aware, in a way. He paid attention in a way that most of us are not used to.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, he gave us a little hint at that when he said, I can only, you know, when he got in trouble.
Right.
Healing this guy on the Sabbath.
It was a Sabbath day. It's John chapter 5. Yeah. He wasn't supposed to heal the guy.
And the religious leaders were
irate,
horrified by it. And they were angry at him. Who gives you the right to do this?
Yeah.
And he says, hey, don't blame me. I'm only doing what my father's doing. He's always at work around me.
Yeah.
And I only do what I see or hear my father doing. And you know what? All those unscripted, unplanned, in-the-moment things that we see, the healing at the pool, you know, the lady that grabs a hold of his garment in the middle of a crowd. He's on his way someplace. I don't know where he was. Oh, to take care of a sick kid.
Yeah.
Right? That wasn't on his agenda to heal this lady, yet she gets healed, you know, on the way. They were all just Jesus paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, and just following what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do. And I thought, you know what? Maybe we're supposed to live that way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And in fact, that's what happened in Rachel's case.
Yeah.
Right? In the moment, we didn't have a prayer service in our heads, you know. We had beer and cigars on our minds, you know. That was it.
Yeah.
God surprises us. He's always at work, isn't he?
Yeah, he
the
is.
The kingdom is always at work around us.
That's exactly right. There's a quote I want to read. It's from Henry Nouwen, whose writings I love a lot. And he writes this: we act as if we were simply dropped down in creation and have to decide how to entertain ourselves until we die. But we were sent into the world by God just as Jesus was. And once we start living our lives with that conviction, we will soon know what we were sent to do. Tell me, you have a great story of your next door neighbor. Tell me the story of your next door neighbor that one time that you prayed for her.
Oh, okay. Doreen. Again, I have to give you some context here. As you can tell by the way I talk, I'm not from these parts.
That's shocking. I had no idea.
I'm born and raised in New York City. And there's something about it. If you get to know New Yorkers that were born and raised there, you know, we don't poke our nose in other people's business. You keep to yourself. Don't, you know what I mean? You don't talk to strangers, first off, right? You just don't do it. You know, you don't even make eye contact, because that can only mean, you know, one of two things. You're either crazy or you're looking for trouble. You know, so you look past people, you know, that kind of thing. That's just the way I grew up. And even after I became a Christian, you know, I didn't get into friendly conversations, you know, on the subway or anything, not even with my neighbors, you know. Well, one afternoon I was in my backyard, and we do have backyards in Brooklyn, you know, and I was piddling around. I noticed out of the corner of my eye, my neighbor Doreen is sitting on the steps of her back porch, just with her head down. And I didn't think two things about it. There she is, she's relaxing, boom. I'm on my, you know, no hello, no nothing. I'm just doing my, taking care of business. And so I get this nudge. You know the nudge, you know, like, hey, dummy, pay attention. You know that, like, and I look over to Doreen again, and I realize she's not just sitting there. She's actually crying, quietly just crying. Now, that nudge thing in me that I'm feeling like God maybe wants me to do something, like make human contact or something like that. You know? Now my heart, you know, I'm getting nervous because this is out of my comfort zone. Man.
Exactly.
This is not what I do. And I'm getting nervous and I'm trying to fight it, and I'm raking the leaves and everything. And it's getting worse and I can't, you know, and it's getting worse and worse. And I know that I have to respond.
Yeah.
And so I walk over to the fence. I say, hey, Doreen, you okay? And she looks up and she's just crying. And I said, what's going on? She comes walking over. I'm really feeling awkward about this. She's going, she goes, she just come back from her doctor, and she found out that she wasn't going to be able to have children because of some physical, structural problem. Now it's getting worse. I know what he wants you to say. He wants you to say those famous words, words of the vineyard.
Can I pray for you right
can
now?
Can I pray for? I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. Can I pray for you now? I wanted her to say, no, that's okay, Light a candle for me or something.
Light a candle.
But she didn't. She said, yes. Boom, 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 boom. Now, I can't even remember my name. I mean, have you ever tried praying for somebody in public? Oh, now I'm really nervous. But I knew what to do. Call my wife. So I did. I called my wife. I said, do you mind if Shaw and I pray for you? And she said, no, go right ahead. So I called my wife, because I knew she would know what to do. And we prayed for her right there over the fence in our backyard in the moment, unscripted, Make a long story short, that was maybe almost 20 years ago now. Doreen and Artie, her husband, have three grown children. And we had the most amazing God conversations after that. Yeah. They had faith. They remained Catholics, but they were alive Catholics. You know what I mean? And it was just a wonderful in the moment. Who would have known?
Yeah, that's good. So when these moments come up for us, it always feels like a risk.
Oh.
It's always like a risk, yeah. Just stop that. That hurts. My chest hurts for watching you do that.
It's not, that's nothing compared to the pain inside of you.
I know. We have a phrase we've used at the Vineyard for years, and we say this, we spell faith R-I-S-K. We're bad spellers. Right? We spell faith R-I-S-K because every time you're taking a step of faith, you begin to notice a nudge, you begin to experience a quickening by the Holy Spirit. It's an act of faith. It's a risk to step out and say something about that.
Yes. I think this whole matter of faith and the feeling of risk taking and all the apprehension and the anxiety that goes along with it has to do with a real human a need that we all have. You know what that need is? To be in control. And most of us are actually control freaks. We go out of our way to stay in control. And so God, this works opposite. This is opposite to being in control. If I'm going to step out and talk to this stranger, or to do this crazy thing, like pray for somebody, that doesn't even believe in God, I'm not in control.
That's right.
I'm putting my life in the hands of God, and that's risky.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's also the essence of faith, is to step through the anxiety, doubt.
Yeah.
Faith isn't not is not the absence of fear. It is not the absence of doubt. It's what you do anyway.
Yeah.
It's obedience. It's stepping out and taking a risk.
I had a point in my life where I got invited to speak in front of a big group of young adults in the Vineyard. And I'd been, Brenda and I had been up here for at least a few years, kind of planting and pastoring the church, but the crowds were like 40, 50, a huge group was maybe 100. And here I was like down in Chicago in front of 300 or 400 young adults, and something just, this nervousness just hit me. And the thing that happened was, I don't know what happens to you when you get nervous, but my kneecaps start going back and forth really fast. I was so nervous that my kneecaps were shaking, and I'll never forget, there's this young guy right down in the front row, and he was just staring at my pants because they were just vibrating back and forth. And he's sitting there flipping a pin back and forth, and he's thinking, how are you doing that with your knees? And I'm thinking, how are you doing that with your pen? And I'm surprised I got anything out of my mouth talking. But there's something about just stepping forward into that.
The only thing I can, how have I gotten past that? You know what counteracts that natural thing that to this day, I mean, before this service, I'm pacing back there because I'm nervous. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because I didn't give you anything to...
No. You know? But the thing that counteracts that force, that human thing that's happening to me, is my love for Jesus.
That's right.
I just love him. And I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I was saved to serve. Yeah. And so, I'm nervous. And I don't know how this is going to work out. And I might end up looking like an idiot, and embarrassing myself. There's a good chance of that. But I love Jesus. Yeah. I'm in love with him. And if he's asking me to do this, I'm going to say okay.
And passing on that love to Doreen is more important than looking.
Yes, seeing... Yes, we realize that giving away love and helping others is much more satisfying and valuable than me looking good and playing it safe.
That's good. That's cool, man.
Yeah, awesome. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, how could we begin to recognize, just give us a couple little pointers, how could we begin to recognize when God's at work?
Well, it's all a matter of familiarity, okay? I know my wife's voice, I can pick her voice out of a crowd. Over the years that's because we spent so much time together.
Right.
I know my wife and she knows me. I know her ways, I feel her presence, I know. You know, I can tell the difference between her voice than any other voice on the planet Earth. Why? Because we spent so much time together. And so I would say the place to start in learning how to be sensitive and pay attention and recognize, the Spirit's promptings in
That's
us
right.
is you're going to need to carve out personal time. You're going to have to unbusy your busy schedule. Even if it's just 15 minutes every morning or every evening before you go to bed, and learn how to just be in his presence and get to know him. Get to know Jesus. Become familiar. And his spirit, you believe it or not, you will over time. So that's the first and most basic thing that I can, if you only do that, watch how you'll start to pay attention and start to notice the Spirit at work around
That's right.
you, in your at work, at school, with your neighbors.
Yeah, and then getting around some other people who actually...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that for me it was a big thing to have somebody model this way of living. I had to see it. I had to get to know somebody that was living this way and that could explain it to me. And also coach me, sort of, you know. And you know what? I think that if you're part of this community, you have lots of opportunity for that to happen in your life. You have classes being offered. You have events. You have lots of people sitting right next to you that are shaking their head doing this because they're living this way.
Yeah.
Get to know them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brenda and I used to come hang out. We were involved in a little Vineyard church down in the cities, and we used to come hang out right in the front where, all the magic was happening and people were getting prayed for and stuff was happening. And we're like, why'd you do that? How'd you know to do that? We just asked them, a gazillion questions until we figured some stuff out. And we're like, oh, my gosh. I'll never forget the first time that somebody that was kind of training me prayed something, but I had heard that exact phrase, in my head just a few seconds before he prayed it. And my eyes were huge, and he goes, you just heard that, didn't you? That was the Holy Spirit telling you. And I'm like, that was the Holy Spirit? That's what the Holy Spirit told me?
All of a sudden, the dots get connected. You know what? You want to become a good cook? Hang out with a good cook. You want to get good at this Holy Spirit stuff? Hang out with some folks that are good at it.
There you go.
And it'll rub off. It's more caught than taught. Let me tell you something. It is more caught than taught. And so make yourself available, spend quiet time on your own and get to know some people that are doing it and start tagging along with them.
There you go. So I think it's time for us to like start doing it right now.
Let's do it.
Do some prayer time right now. So here's what I'd like to do while we're just sitting here. I'd like to just pray for a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to come. He's here all the time anyway, but let's invite his tangible presence and invite him to speak to us. And I'd like you to do that with me. We're just going to kind of quiet our minds, quiet our hearts for a minute, and invite God to come speak to us about what he's doing in our own lives, and then what he's doing in some of the lives of the people that we know, some of the folks that we go to school with, or some of the folks that, you know, our family or coworkers or neighbors. And just invite the Holy Spirit to talk to us. And then Mike and I will share a few of the impressions that the Holy Spirit gives us for us as a community, maybe some specific things that he wants to heal even today. And then I want Mike to pray for us, all of us. Then at that point, I'll have everybody stand up, and I'll just have Mike pray for all of us, and just so that we could be in touch this week. Because I mean, just imagine, like, just this room full of people right here listening to what God's doing in the lives, in your own life, and in the lives of the people that you live and work around. Just imagine this room doing that this week in Duluth. Mm. It's like, that changes stuff when we do that. So what were you going to say?
You just said it to me. I think that one of the prayers that I feel that you should pray is ask the Lord right now. You know, we each one of us have a circle of relationships, of friends that are around us every day, most of the time. God is at work in their lives.
Yeah.
And you should ask, what would happen if you would ask him, who in my circle, my coworkers, my classmates, my neighbors, who are you working with that you want me to partner with you in helping them out?
Yeah, that's good. So let's take a few moments and just pray. And I'll just sit quietly. Don't get alarmed by that. Silence is not a bad thing. And then I'll end that silence in a couple minutes, and we'll share some of our impressions.
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence right now. Would you come, Lord? And would you speak to us? Would you speak to us about our own lives? Would you speak to us about the lives of those that we live around? Thank you that you love us enough to talk to us. Anyway, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your gracious presence and for the peace, just for the shalom that you bring to our lives. I say thank you. Mm. But Mike, what?
I got a strong impression that there's a good number of you here listening to this with a big yes. Yeah. This makes it. But. Yes, but. But not me. I'm not spiritual enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. I got enough problems that, you know, why I would be a hypocrite. You have all types of reasons, and some of them are good reasons probably, that you would disqualify yourself. But yet, you're listening, and there's something going off in your heart saying, yes, I want to do this. And you actually, people have come to mind that you know, that you would love to be able to talk to, pray for, help in some way. They're already in your mind, right now as I'm talking, already, if I was only the right type of person. Guess who? It's all about the Holy Spirit It's not about you. It's about you making yourself available. So if that's you, I think the Holy Spirit is inviting you, like he invited the 12 in the book of Acts, like he invited the 120 in the upper room to come along with him and let him, you know, become partners with him in your world, in your neighborhood, in your class, at your job. He's just inviting you. Give some more space to the Holy Spirit in your life, more control, and see what he'll do with and giving you opportunities and the ability to just be, you know, be yourself, but yet represent Jesus.
That's right.
And I think if you're here and this is making sense to you, and you take a risk. Step through the, you know, ooh, if I stand up and I come forward, everybody's going to know. Or I hate to make a spectacle of myself. Get past it and come on up so we can. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to fill your life in a new way, empowering you so that you can do the stuff. Because you're part of everybody gets to play. He's talking about you.
But what do you think? Should we just have people come up that want
to pray? I think we should just, let's see, you know, if I'm out of my mind, I'm out of my mind.
Yeah,
that wasn't the Holy Spirit talking, you know. But let's stand.
Yeah, let's stand up. And if that's you.
And if that's you, you want just a simple, you know, we're not here to make people feel awkward or uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if this is the way you want to live.
Yeah.
You know, come on up, let us pray. You know how many times I came forward and just got prayer after prayer after prayer. And you know what? It stuck.
Yeah.
It worked.
Eventually it took, huh?
Lo and behold, who would have guessed?
Come on up. So that's you, come on right to the front right now. And we're going to pray over all of us as a group, but we're going to pray specifically over some of these folks that that God's speaking to. And we just want to bless what he's doing. And so if that's you,
and
if you're in the middle
children,
of a row.
It doesn't matter how old you are. And it doesn't matter if you've received prayer this way in the past. It doesn't matter. This is a new day.
Yeah.
So young, old, experienced, inexperienced, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of them. You know, God has a role for you.
Yeah, just push your way right up here to the front. If you're in a row and there's people that aren't letting you out, just knock them over.
And the prayer team could come and kind of just be here.
Yeah, if you're on the prayer team, you can begin to make your way up too. And we're going to go around and pray for you individually, but we also just want to pray over us as a church, as a group, that God would really empower us to just to live the way that he made us to live, to bring his kingdom everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Everywhere
he uses ordinary people like you, you know? And so what I'm going to ask you to do is do nothing. Can you just rest in his presence and just say, I'm available? If you can just do that. And maybe as a sign of that, I don't know, it's not magic, but just take your hands out of your pockets and just, this is kind of like a signal, you know, of what's going on in your heart.
Right.
Just like, here I am. I'm going to make myself vulnerable to you.
Yeah.
You know, because I would love to live this way.
Yeah.
I want to get in on the action.
It's good. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now? We invite you, Holy Spirit, come and move in our lives. And we do say, yes, we're available. We're available. Let's come, Lord.
Yeah. Now, some of you, you know, we all of us are individually wired. And we all experienced, you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our own way, you know. And some of you right now are sensing maybe even inside, you're getting a little bit of emotional. You're getting a little tender. And maybe even you feel a little bit of weepy or anything. Don't fight it. It's just the Holy Spirit. That's you reaction to him. And there's others here. Right now, as I'm talking, as you're standing there, you feel heat suddenly just came over you. Your hand, you might feel energy, kind of a little light. That's just him. And then there are others of you that are not feeling anything. you're actually saying, why am I even up here? Okay? It doesn't mean that he's not working in your life. Just here I am. Now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, breathe. Just the way you, in the upper room, when you stood freshly resurrected, you said, peace be unto you. Peace. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you.
That's right.
And then he breathed. You breathe on your disciple. Breathe on these disciples now.
That's right, Lord.
Holy Spirit, breathe. The breath of life of the Spirit, the missional sending Spirit, your heart for the lost, your heart for the least, your heart for the outcast, your heart for the sick and the broken. Breathe.
Right.
In Jesus' name.
Father, I ask that you would empower us to bring your kingdom.
Yes.
Would you empower us?
Yes.
Jesus, you said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. And so, Father, would you empower us with your authority?
Yes.
To actually speak to sickness and tell it to go. To actually speak to unhealth. Even emotional unhealth, mental unhealth. Would you give us just your authority, Lord, to actually bring your kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Would you give us authority to really bring love and compassion to those who no one else in society is giving it to them right now? Come, Holy Spirit.
And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability to see what the Father is doing around us. I pray you'll open up our ears, that you'll help us to pay attention. Give us discernment. Give us discernment so that we can participate with you, Lord. For those that are saying, I never hear God's voice. I never see. I can't tell. Lord, change that now. Holy Spirit, just give them the ability to see what you're doing in their everyday lives.
Yeah.
In and around them, Lord. Lord,
yeah. Yeah, I just even ask for a gift of faith.
Mm.
Just a gift of confidence in God that he can do what he says he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he can use you to do that. Father, would you give us a gift of faith? There's that deep underlying confidence in you, no matter what the circumstances look like. If you're in the ministry team, please begin to just make your way kind of through the crowd, and you can begin to pray for people. If you're receiving prayer, just stay right where you're at. Keep receiving prayer. We would love to come around and just pray for you and bless individually what God's doing, and it'll take us a little bit, but we'll get around. If you're a small group leader here, you're in leadership here at the Vineyard, and you'd like to help us pray, this is your invitation. Come on up, and you can help us do that. These guys will lead us in worship. For the next few minutes, if you want to hang out in here, you're welcome just to hang out and continue to worship Jesus. At some point, though, you're going to want to not forget your children. So they're fine for a while, but don't leave them here because we'll forget them too. So, you know, you don't want to do that. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for coming to the Vineyard today. And if there's anything else that you want prayer for, man, please feel free to make your way up here. We'd love to pray for anything that's going on in your life. Other than that, God bless you, and thanks for coming to the Vineyard today.